Well, the Reserve Bank did it yesterday, didn't they? They lifted its official interest rate to 4.1%. It's a level not seen since early 2012. Now, the bank's board decided to lift the cash rate target by 0.25 of a percentage point for the second month in a row. And this is amid concerns inflation's taking way too long to come down. The most recent monthly consumer price index from the Australian Bureau of Statistics showed price rises rose 6.8% over the year to April. That's up from the March reading due to some statistical noise caused by last year's temporary fuel excise cut. So the Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe has again sounded a warning about the rising cost of services, and it's going to hit mortgage holders massively from today. Our expert is on the phone. His name is Scotty Phillips from the Motley Fool Money Podcast on Listener. He joins me now. Good day, buddy.
Luke, good morning.
Well, they did it. Some people were saying that they wouldn't. Others were saying they have to because of inflation. Mm. Scotty, explain exactly what happened yesterday and how it's going to impact us.
Mate, so look, I got to say up front, I was someone who didn't think they would. I thought Phil Lowe would try desperately to avoid raising rates if he could avoid it at all. And I think that maybe is the biggest tell of this whole thing. He just felt like he couldn't wait. He had to do something because he'd done a great job, mate, of summarising exactly the pressure points the economy is facing. Inflation is way too high, coming down way too slowly. We know that, like Governor Lowe had previously said, 4% was the maximum he wanted to see wages increase by. The Fair Work Commission last week said 5.75%. Now, I don't begrudge anyone those pay rises, but the reality is the governor's looking around and saying, well, given the setting, given the circumstances, and frankly, mate, given the overseas experience, we saw the UK go, the inflation dropped a little bit for a while and then jumped back over 10%. And he's looking around and saying, you know what, if I get this wrong, if I don't do the right job here, I'm going to have that sort of scenario for every single Australian. Paying 10% more for everything, or on average, is just untenable for the economy. And so he's got two bad choices, Luke. He's got to either say, I will let inflation rip and hope things don't get too bad, mm-hmm. or I can say, I'm going to hurt home buyers. And he knows it hurts. This is the thing. Plenty of people like to paint Lowe's out of touch and not caring. That's absolutely not true. But he's got two bad choices. It's inflation or rates. He thinks on balance with the rest of the RBA board that rates up a little bit more for a little bit longer is better than inflation. Because, by the way, prices go up and then they stay up. At least rates can come back down. He reckons this is the lesser of the two very significant evils.
Scotty, let me tell you the story of a bloke who rang me yesterday. Mm. He's a dad, and his son has moved out of home and has moved into his property, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. This interest rate hike, as predicted by this dad, now means that his son and his fiancée are going to move back in with mum and dad. Yeah. He's going to rent out the property that he was hoping to live in, and he's going to try and get as much bloody rent for it as he possibly can, and the mm-hmm. sky's the limit because he needs to cover it. So this is going to affect the rental market as well.
Yeah, it is brutal. It is absolutely brutal because whether it's someone moving like this young bloke, this is why this sucks, mate. Like, there's just no good outcome. There's no, Lowe's got no good choices. This young bloke's going to have to move home with mum and dad. Now, hopefully for him, he can do that and he can save a few bob and pay down some of the mortgage down. That's probably not a bad position to be in. I'm sure he doesn't want to move back with the parents. But
he's going to rent it out for top dollar rent.
And that's what I was going to say. The other part of it is every landlord is now, well, not only is him, but even current landlords who are saying, well, hang on, I had the mortgage covered at 2%. And then at 3%, it was tough. Now at 4.1% plus whatever the bank adds on top. So let's say it's going to be 6.1, maybe something like that. I've got to put the rent up. I've got to put the rent up just to cover my repayments, make sure I don't go broke. And so it spirals right through the economy. It's why it's so bloody painful. And then, look around. The other, we talk about services inflation. The problem with inflation is it just eats away and eats away and eats away. It's effectively a tax, right? It's a tax on our savings, tax on our incomes, because I can buy 10% less, or at this stage 8% less, than I could this time last year. And so that's the problem is what in that circumstance do you do? You could say, well, I'm not going to put rates up, but you've got to pay 10% more for everything rather than 8% more for everything, and maybe for another year or 2 years. I feel, and by the way, that, he's got somewhere to move. There are people out there who are listening right now who are saying, I've got no plan B. I've got kids or I've got whatever. I was stretched 2 months ago. I was stretched last month. I'm more stretched now. And by the way, I don't want to be the bad guy, but the RBA said there's probably more to come. So this is not the last time we'll be talking about this, mate. It is just brutal, absolutely brutal.
Experts are saying, oh, the millennials and the Gen Zers, this is a lesson. They need to learn to pull their heads in, to stop having smashed avo for brunch on Sundays, to stop going on overseas trips, stop buying widescreen TVs and flash cars, and move back in with mum and dad and curb your spending.
Mate, the average, this is the average loan. The increase since May last year is now about $14,500 per year. Now, I don't know many millennials and Gen Zs who are spending $14,500 on smashed avos and overseas trips. So it's very tempting to do that. And it's very tempting, I think, sometimes with, well, I almost have the best of intentions, but without really knowing, people say, well, hang on, I paid 17% in 1990. So surely you guys should be able to pay 6% today. Which misses the entire point, of course, that house prices have probably tripled or quadrupled in the meantime. And so it's not a case of just saying, skip the smashed avo, you know, I did it tough, you can do it tough too. There's some of that, but I remember the average is 15 grand. That means there's some below, which is great, but also some above. Some people are probably paying 20, 25 grand more a year on their mortgage repayments now than they were only a year ago.
So there are, how many people now are going to have to find a second or a third job?
Yep. Exactly. And by the way, unemployment's already started to tick up. So I'd love to be able to answer these questions with actual solutions, Luke, really honestly. By the way, the solution is for the government to do more. When Treasurer Chalmers stands up and says, I feel very sorry for everybody, and gee, the governor's got to explain himself because he's doing these things. I mean, the RBA's independent. It's not my fault. He's doing it to you. I feel terrible. Let's remember one very critical factor. The RBA could do less if the government did more. That is just a very, very simple reality. And whatever the government is looking over there and pointing over there and saying, it's him, blame him, I'll sack him in a couple of months' time, don't worry, I'll fix it for you. They are avoiding the opportunity to actually help people out along the way.
But Jim Chalmers said yesterday, it's not his fault, it's government policies on track. He said, when we brought out the budget, the Reserve Bank said, yes, the budget's been carefully calibrated to fit in with inflation, to curb spending, and he seemed to be saying that Philip Lowe gave the budget its blessing.
Yeah. Phil Lowe's a public servant, but you know he is. And by the way, he's a traditional Westminster public servant.
And by the way, his job is up for grabs in September.
There is that. So, mate, look, here's the thing: if you spend more than you earn, which the government is doing, it is a stimulatory budget. They are adding demand to the economy by spending more in government spending than they're collecting in taxes. Now, we can argue about whether they should spend less or tax more or something else. They could change a whole lot of other policies too. By the way, not even the budget balance. They could be addressing immigration, they could be addressing negative gearing, they could do a million different things should they choose. And so far, and by the way, the last mob were no better, they didn't do anything about this either. Neither group is saying, actually, we're going to get the budget firstly back into balance, then start paying some of the debt down, and we're going to make some changes, whether it's regulations, whether it's spending or tax policy. There's 15 dozen ideas in the bottom drawer of every Treasury secretary, every secretary of any government department right now. And the government saying, oh, we're doing what we can, and we're being responsible, and all the words sound fantastic. They are not, as I said, this is not political. The other mob did nothing either, and in fact made it worse. They're not addressing their role in doing exactly nothing, which means the RBA has to do everything, and that's partly why rates are so high right now.
Could the government raise the GST to curb spending, and then that affects everybody and not just mortgage holders?
Yes, they could, and they could do it tomorrow. They need the states to agree the way it's being constructed. But fundamentally, yes, of course they could. They'd do it tomorrow. They could collect more of our pay in super. They could garnish my wages by 2%. Put it in super, so I get to keep the money. I just have to wait till I retire. They could do that tomorrow. They could increase the GST tomorrow. They could increase taxes. They could decrease spending. They could change negative gearing. They could curb immigration. There was a trillion things they could have done over the last. And by the way, they've been in power for more than 12 months, and rates have been going up sequentially for 12 months. It's not like they've woken up this morning and thought, gee, there might be an issue here. I wonder if we've got any options. They've had a long time to work out whether they want to respond to it and how they might do it. So far, the answer has been, look, the budget was okay, frankly. They resisted the urge to spend more, so that's something. But they did nothing to remove the stimulus from the economy, and now we're paying the price.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this, and I suggested, you know, how about we tip more into our super? We can't touch it, but at least it's our money, and it'll be there for us and for when we retire, and it's not in the hands of the bank.
Yep, and so everyone pays a bit of that, not just the third of Australians that have a mortgage or the other third that are renting that are paying more rent right now. Everybody across the board, other than retirees, because they're not contributing to super, so it's not perfect, But it's a pretty good start, I think, to say, right, rather than whack the poor bugger who's just, as you said, the young bloke who's bought his new house, he's going to have to bear some of the pain, but so am I, so are you, so are other people out there, because it's the fair thing to do. And as you say, it's not going in tax to the government. It's not going in profits to the banks or to the banks, you know, lenders or depositors. It goes to us. We just have to put it away for a bit for the future. Frankly, there's not enough of that being done anyway. I think we could probably look back and say that whatever we're forced to add to super today in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, for those young people, they'll be well and truly better off as a result.
By the way, I've noticed my bank, Westpac, was the first to pass on the cash rate yesterday. So
they tend to go in some sort of order. You'd almost think they have a wink and a nod. There's no collusion, let me be very clear. But they do take it in turns. I'm sure there's an unwritten understanding that if I do it now, you'll do it next month, so I don't have to do it twice in a row. See how these things go.
Hey, listen, we'll look forward to your podcast on Listener, the Motley Fool Money Podcast. Scotty Phillips is our man. And, Scotty, thank you so much for your time.
Always great to chat. Thanks, Luke.